for the first time. And when I put my head under the water and started just swimming around and seeing this world that was under the water, the beautiful colors, shapes of the fish, the coral, color of the coral, and I lift my head up out of the water and look at the beautiful world around me, but said, there's more. There's more. So every time I get a chance, I love to go snorkeling and see some of this that exists in places that I had never seen before. Now, I would say that a more moment in my marriage. When we got married, I thought I loved Carolyn more than I could ever love her. And we've been married 35 years. And we've had 4 children. And we've added 4 more children through marriage. And then 11 grandchildren. And I look at her and I celebrate this life. How could it get any better than this? There was more here than I thought. Well, I want you to examine and to think, is it possible that in your life, in our church's life, that there's more to prayer? There's more in prayer than you and I maybe have experienced so far. So over the next 5 weeks, we are going to look at this idea of prayer, and I'm going to ask you to begin praying a prayer right now for the next 29 days. I want you to begin praying, God, teach me more about my time together with you. And here's one of the challenges I'm going to have for you. I want you to imagine that this is the seat where Jesus is going to sit. And he's with me all the time through the week. So all 168 hours, he's with me through the week. But what if I tithed my time? What if 16.8 hours I spent in conversation with him? I wonder if some of my downtime that I'm filling with TV, if he's not sitting there waiting for some time with me, because there's more in my prayer time that I could experience if I would just give that. Now, 16.8 hours, I have to say, I'm not there yet. But think of your awake hours during your day. If you're awake 16 hours, tithe that, 1.6. I'm going to say I'm not there yet either. I'm trying to do 30 minutes, and a couple times a month I do an hour in prayer. And we ask our church once a month, take 1 hour in prayer and just petition the Father, spend time with the Father. Is it possible in your life that over the next 5 weeks, God wants you to experience more in your prayer time than you've ever thought was possible? And my prayer would be that over this next 5 weeks, you would have one of those more moments for your life. And it would radically change you and your family and your neighborhood and your workplace, because you found something that was happening in those times with the Father that radically changed your life. And you'd never go back. Now, we looked in the life of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, how Jesus had seasons of prayer, times of where he was praying. And he would get up early in the morning while it was still dark and go to a solitary place and pray, because he valued his time with the Father. Now, I don't know if he tithed his time, but I know Jesus sets an example for me to suggest that there's probably more in my prayer life that I could experience if I would just give him time. So let me suggest one other thing. I don't know how many words you say in a day. What if you tithed your words? Now, all of your words should bring glory to God, bless other people around you, should offer enrichment and leave a clue that you are a follower of Jesus. All of your words, 100% of your words, are his and should bring honor and glory to him. But what if 10% of your words were dedicated to direct communication, speaking with your Father. Now, I'm going to ask us to stretch a little bit. Not just out of a discipline to say, hey, okay, you're not doing good enough yet, and God's not going to be happy with you until you get to this level. That is not the experience at all. What I'm saying is there is a blessing that God wants to give to us. And there's probably a fire hydrant of intimacy that we could have with the Father. And I'm afraid in my life in the area of prayer, I'm drinking the trickle. And I want more. Because I think if I have more time that I dedicate to the Father, I think amazing things happen. I know people who are prayer warriors, and I love what happens in their life. I love the attitude they have about life. I love how they handle difficulties. I love how they handle their friends and neighbors. And all I want to say is today, would it be possible that over the next 29 days, you would say, God, would you give me more? Would you help me to give more? And would you help me to experience more about what it looks like to have an intimate prayer life with you? Okay? That's where we're going to start. So turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Well, before I do that, can I just say something? This comes in the context. Let me just back up. If you are a new believer, prayer is something that's probably kind of intimidating for you. Or if you're not really sure about Jesus, you're not sure if there's actually a God, this whole prayer idea, you can deal with a lot of the other things about Christian life that seem to be palatable to you. Gathering together for fellowship and encouragement, that kind of makes sense. Sometimes maybe standing and singing songs, you come in here and think, why do Christians do that? The prayer thing is the one that probably stumbles. A lot of people stumble on. Because it seems like that's just such a trite thing to do. To express a prayer, and who's listening to this prayer. So let me give the background. We are a church that believes there is a God who created everything. We believe the evidence of his design and wisdom and beauty is seen in everything. When I put my goggles under the surface of the water and saw the beauty of the fish, this ocean world, and just in the shallows of it, I was seeing God display his glory. This world did not just happen. Anything that you let just happen in your home leads to chaos and disorganization. It's true in your world. You just let your lawn happen, and your neighbor will happen to come to your door and say, hey, when are you going to do something about this? You let anything in your life just happen, and it will move to decay. That's the same thing about creation and the world that we have around us. It doesn't just happen. There was a creator who designed it beautifully to display his glory. Now, the amazing thing about that creator is at the height of his creation, he created humans, man and woman, and he longs for relationship with them. Now, I know you've heard of foxhole prayers. You know what those are? Those are in desperate situations. People who've never thought about there being a God, in the back of their mind, when they're in a desperate situation, they call out, God, I don't know if you're there, but I need you now. And what is it about us, about humans, that when we are at the end of our ropes, all of a sudden there's something in us that says, I need a creator. I need something bigger than me. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, all I want you to do is to give ear to that unique way that you were created, because you were created longing for a relationship with the Father. And in your most desperate times, when things are falling apart around you, you call out, you may say, hey, you've probably not heard much from me lately, but I'm asking for help. because you desperately need there to be somebody who could come alongside to help you. I just want to say, would you trust with me that that Creator who made you loves you more than you could know? And He wants a relationship with you. And He's created a pathway where prayer allows you to grow that relationship. I have a quote from a book that I'm reading, Greg Pruitt. He's a missionary, training and leads a number of people who take the gospel, write the Bible in foreign languages, places where people have never had a language of their own or never have a written language and don't have a copy of the Bible on their own. And he trains people, sends them out across the world. He wrote a book on prayer, and he says basically prayer is this effort of just crying out in a humble spirit, crying out to God. Effective prayer starts from a humble position and then crying out to God. Your very first experience of maybe intimate prayer was that kind of a prayer. It was humbly, I don't know what to do. I'm crying out, God, this is what my heart longs for. Today, I want to switch, because our whole series is going to be on this crying out of our hearts, heart cries to God. But today, I want you to think of it from a different perspective. I want you to think, what if God's heart is crying out for intimate relationship with you? What if the cry of God's heart is for you to spend time with Him so that you could get the very best of what you were created for? And what if my satisfaction with just the trickle grieves His heart because He knows there's so much more that I could find if I could spend time with Him? Let's pray before we start in. Father God, we believe that every time we open Your Word and study Your Word, You're going to speak something powerfully to us. So I ask You now, would You open Your Word, open our ears, give us ears that are ready to hear what You want to say. Give us a heart that's ready to respond. And Father, I pray that You would help us to come with the questions, the authenticity of what we have, what our experience has been in the past. And we'd allow You to teach us, to show us that there's more here than we ever imagined. So Father, meet us here, we pray. We are Your children, ready to learn. You be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now we're going to stop quickly there. I want you to look at that passage of Scripture, because Jesus is giving us insight into a choice that we make, and it's something that we sometimes stumble into or get stumbled on in this prayer time. This is something where prayer kind of causes us to trip and get sidetracked. Jesus says this first sidetrack is where we seek attention or awareness from the people around us rather than an encounter with God. Now, I don't know how you feel about prayer, but I remember the first time I prayed in public, I was scared to death. I remember praying and thinking other people were listening and going to make fun of maybe the words that I said, or I stuttered, I couldn't think of a word that I was trying to say, and I was worried. So I've heard lots of people say, I'm not very good at praying in public. And the reason that is because we've put so much attention on the people around us and how our prayer might affect them, and we've missed the more moment. Prayer has nothing to do with the people around. Well, I mean, it does have something to do. It's a witness, and you ought to be praying for the people around you, but your prayer is not for their attention. Your prayer is for an encounter with the Father. Amen? So when you pray, regardless of what you think other people are going to say, you're having a conversation with the Father. And Jesus is concerned that when you pray, you may get caught up with where lots of people are, is that your prayer has to make an impression for the people. I don't know what Matt and Shane and Melissa felt like when they were praying today, and they knew you were going to be eavesdropping on their prayer. And I don't know if they were concerned or were they going to say the right words. I don't know if they were concerned about how you would think about the words that they said. But I want you to know that when they prayed, their focus was to be an encounter with the Father, not an impression on the people. But I want you to think what that looks like, because there's two things in this text that Jesus is warning about. First of all, he says, there's a possibility that you will use your prayer to impress other people about your own spiritual life. So Jesus says, when you pray in public, don't be like, what's the word he uses? Hypocrites. Now, Jesus says a hypocrite is somebody who's acting a role. It's not really their real role. They're an actor, a pretender, and they are acting a role out to try to impress other people. And honestly, the religious leaders were doing that. They were praying in public. Now, I don't know what it looks like for us. We live in a very different culture. I don't know if you would stand on the street corner and pray out loud for people and what that would look like for you. I know that I sometimes sit in restaurants and I pray for people who are sitting in the restaurant, but I don't think they know I'm praying, and I'm not really looking for them to be impressed by something, but I'm having my smoothie or whatever I'm having, and I'm looking at people and just praying for things that might be going on in their life. Now, that's not what the Pharisees were doing. They were actually coming to the corners, dressed in their religious robes, and they were lifting up loud prayers to God. And Jesus said, their prayers to be seen by other people. The focus was on the focus of having other people notice me. Those prayers will receive a reward. But it's not the more reward. He says, you'll get a reward. People will either say, wow, that person is a really spiritual person. Or that person used really big words in their prayer. Where'd they learn those words? Or that person must have a really strong relationship with God. You'll get rewards. Or you'll get others who will say, that person is just showing off. You'll get that reward from a human prayer that's focused on people. But Jesus says, there's more. There's more. And the only way to develop a prayer where you in public can pray out of an intimate relationship with the Father and you don't care if people are eavesdropping is if you are doing this, what we said 2 weeks ago, this abiding prayer, this time when you go away by yourself and you start beginning this intimate relationship with the Father of just talking to Him. Nobody else is around. And if you can get that learned there in your closet where Jesus says, if you can learn it there, then all of a sudden you can place yourself in that closet in a public place when you're asked to pray, and you can be able to pray in an intimate way, talking to your Father in heaven. And other people are just eavesdropping. You're not concerned about what they're going to say or what they're going to think. You're just talking to your Father. I want to ask you, have you experienced that more where your quiet time alone has actually fueled your public prayers? When you pray with your family, It's not just the prayer of dad saying, okay, I want you to fold your hands by your head, close your eyes, and stop peeking during the prayer. It's not like you're praying and watching the kids to see what they're doing. Your focus is on them. No, your private time has taught you to be able to have an intimate conversation with God. There's more to your prayer life that will be evidenced in the public prayer life if you fueled it with a foundation of quiet prayer. Now, here's the second thing about this text. If you're a really spiritual person, you're confident that when you pray in public, people will be impressed. If you're a very spiritual person, real spiritual person, but you're insecure, you will think that when you do your spiritual act of prayer, that people will maybe look down on you. Because maybe you didn't say the words quite so smoothly. Maybe you didn't use the right words. You didn't know what to say. And one of the fears about prayer, it's not the Pharisee boldness about prayer, but it's a normal person's tendency fear about prayer, is that I'm afraid of what the people will think if I maybe make a mistake. And don't you see, that's the stumbling block that Jesus is addressing here. That if your focus is on people, your intimacy with the Father is going to be less. So here's, let me just deal with this. The God who created us knows that we're imperfect, right? He knows that they're weak. He knows that we're still learning things about him. He can handle your mistakes. Do you believe that? We use a word in the Bible for that. It's called grace. Would you say grace? Grace. We use that because we believe this God who is the creator, who loves us and wants the very best of us, is a God of truth and a God of grace. And when you come into his presence and you pray and say, oh, I can't think of the right word, the Bible says there's somebody who will explain that word for you to him in heaven. All you have is an ache in your heart. You can't think the right word that expresses what you're trying to say. And the Bible says God's created a helper so that when you have groans and pains and words, expressions that you can't put words to, you have the Holy Spirit who will communicate those groans to the Father. I want you to look at a couple of words, a couple of passages of Scripture. Look at Psalm 32, verse 5. Here's an intimate prayer time where the prayer says, I've have to confess a sin. I'm coming into God's presence and I have to confess a sin. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And how did God respond? God, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That's because God is a God of grace. When your focus is on what people think, it causes you to stumble and not catch what God thinks. And you think, well, God's going to look at me and say, man alive, you didn't meet up to what my expectations were. And you're all wrong because you're used to how people respond. But your God is so much more than that. And if you stumble on what you think people are going to think, it's going to cause you to miss the grace that you could experience from this God who knows everything about you and accepts you as you are because he wanted to create a way for you to be able to have this conversation with him. I don't know what's keeping you from starting a prayer time. If you think, well, I've got nothing to say, I want you to know God's going to grace you. He'll just sit in silence with you. He'll remind you of words. You'll hear him put things on your mind. And you'll start to say, well, God, thank you. I'm reminded about this that you did in my life. And I just want to say, and all of a sudden the conversation's starting. God is a God who longs for relationship with us. And he's a God of grace. And if you let your sin cause you to keep you away from God, you're going to miss the incredible blessing, the more of his grace. I want to ask you, have you tasted that more? This is a verse in Hebrews chapter 4 that talks about how important it is on God's behalf that he create an avenue for you to be able to have relationship with him. Verse 15 and 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest. So this is talking about we have Jesus who's kind of interceding for us. He's like a high priest. He's a religious leader who's interceding and acting on our behalf for God. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. No, we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this is talking about Jesus and how Jesus acts as a mediator for us in our prayer times. And I have to wonder if Jesus, as he was growing up on earth, felt this tension that you and I feel, this temptation to pray our prayers so that other people will notice. What if the Son of God, when he was learning to pray and hearing his mom and dad say, that was a beautiful prayer, all of a sudden started to think, I want everybody to think I'm praying a beautiful prayer. And I wonder if he, for a moment, had times when he started to recognize his prayers were more about getting a response from people. I wonder if Jesus, in his humanity, wrestled with that just like you and I do. Because Jesus came to be this perfect example for us. He understands this fear we have. Verse 16 says, so now since we have a high priest who understands that weakness, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I just want to tell you, there's more in your private prayer time. There's more in your prayer time relationships with God. If you could give him 10% of your words, if you would give him 10% of your awake hours, if you would give him 10% of your morning, 4 hours in the morning, give him 40 minutes. There's more in your prayer time. And Jesus recognizes your stumbling over what people will think will cause you to miss the more. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. In this last section, he addresses one other choice that you and I have. Jesus says in verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. So here's the second challenge and choice that you make. And we've already talked a little bit about it. It's this idea to try to think that there must be magic words or special words you're supposed to say when you pray and talk to God. Now, I said at the very beginning, God has created us for a relationship with him. He longs for us to come and talk with him. And he doesn't give you magic words that you have to use. Some religions have this experience that if you say the right word in the right order, or if you say this phrase over and over again, somehow that opens the door for the Father. And Jesus is just saying, hey, I want you to know that's not the case. It's not your many words. You know what it is? It's the honesty of your heart. It's the openness of your soul that most endears him to tune in to your prayer. Now, Jesus said, some people think that you have to maybe shout at God or get his attention. No, but God already knows, he says, what you need even before you ask him. All he's waiting for is for you to meet him at a heart level. You don't have to impress God. He's not impressed. He just loves you. He loves how deeply you were created to be able to know relationship with him. He loves the potential of what could happen in your life. He loves the way you've responded when little blessings have happened in your life and when he's opened up the door for those blessings to be poured on your life. All I want to say is Jesus is saying he knows that sometimes we limit our prayer time because we're not sure we got the right words. And if the Father is saying, hey, I want you to meet me here at a heart level. My heart longs for a time for you to communicate with me. There's more here in this moment than you realize. If that's God's heart, he's waiting for me to say, God, That's my heart too. I want you to meet me here. I know I'm not much to look at. I know I've messed up. I know times when I should have gone this way and I rebelled and went this way. But God, I need more of you. I just want you to know, Scripture says God will not turn away from the contrite and broken heart. You want to know a prayer that really impresses God? It's a prayer that's honest and says, God, I desperately need you. I can't do this without you. And from that start, he can start uncovering the more that happens in your quiet time. Now, I know on Sunday mornings, all you see is the outward expression of people living out. You have no idea who here is a prayer warrior, who's spending time in prayer. And I have to say, I don't know who all of you are who are prayer warriors, people who have this intimate time with the Father. And when you have the chance to have a public prayer with someone else, that public prayer is like, man alive, how did they get this channel to heaven? Because you can tell they're alert to the things around them, but they're expressing thoughts in heaven that they've longed to be able to express. You sense an intimacy. And all I want to say is, as much as your marriage and your family is built on a foundation of communication, and if that communication dries up, your marriage dries up, your family relationships dry up, your friendships dry up, they become surface level. I want you to say, God, I don't want my spiritual life to be at that level. I want to go below the surface. I'm going to put some spiritual goggles on in prayer time. And God, I just want to come, and I want you to show me the more. I wonder what more could happen in our neighborhood if we became a church of prayer. If part of my first step goal is to tithe 10% of my life to prayer. Intimate time with the Father, listening to Him and obeying Him. Communicating my honest heart where I'm at right now, calling out for His help and aid. I wonder what would happen. And I know, honestly, as I say that, it looks like it could never happen. How could I spend 16 hours a week praying? Man, that'd be more than 2 hours a day. Now, I don't know. You might have to get up earlier in the morning. But all I want to say is there's more. And maybe you're at 5 minutes a day. Would you double that and say, for this next 29 days, I'm going to give 10 minutes every day to just time to talk with God. Listen to Him. Because I want to tell you, there's incredibly more, because this promise of this scripture is, if you will come past these stumbling blocks of people, getting caught up with people and getting caught up with the words that we're trying to say, if you'll get past that and just come into intimate relationship and conversation with the Father, Jesus says, the Father who sees in secret and knows your needs will reward you. I wonder what that more looks like. So here's my challenge. In the next 29 days, I want you to ask God, help me to go deeper in my prayer life. And for this first week, here's my challenge. I want you to ask Him to help your prayer life to go deeper so that it could have blessing. The reward would come into your life and it would bless your neighborhood. This first week, I just want you to ask God, would you pour into my life as I open myself up to you, and would you allow it to somehow bless my neighbor? And then just watch for some area where He allows you to bless a neighbor where you live, or a neighbor in your work pod, somebody that you get to bless. Pray this week, God, I want more, and I want that more to leak out into my neighborhood. Would you pray with me? Father God, I believe that the things that this church wants to become, the way you want to use us, are going to be fueled by these moments when we as individuals come into your presence with prayer. And God, I want you to power pack those moments. I want you to bless and meet us as we come together in times of prayer. And on Sunday mornings, people would be praying that you would act mightily in our services and that you would cause hearts to humbly turn to you. Now, Father God, I just pray, would you hear our prayers? Would you lead us into more? And then would you pour out that reward of mercy, grace, and blessing, and intimacy with you, and let that leak out to us? And today, Father, this week, I want to pray for the neighborhoods that each of us lives in, that we're lights in an area of darkness, and there's needs that exist around our neighborhood. And God, in our prayer times, would you help us to become aware of a family or a situation that you want us to love on this week. So, Father, speak to us in our prayer time and then send us out on mission. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you would be willing, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. How many of you would be willing to take this 29-day challenge and say, for the next 29 days, I'm going to take a step deeper in my prayer life? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'd like to have 100% of us, no matter what our age is, to say, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. I'm going to put my goggles on and stop looking at the service. I'm going to go deeper in my prayer life. And God, I just want you to explore and reveal to me more than I've experienced in the past. If you would make that challenge, I'd like you to begin praying a little bit more, 5 or 10 minutes more each day. Pray from your heart to the Father, and then listen to His heart towards you. And I promise the Holy Spirit who lives inside us, Holy Spirit who God has sent to be a mediator, He will communicate with you. God, give us more. Help us not be satisfied with a trickle when a fire hydrant of His blessing is about ready to be poured out in this church, and it's going to happen because His people started to get comfortable in this intimate moment of prayer with the Father. I want that for you. I want more. Let's stand together and sing. If you have a decision you'd like to make for Christ, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want you to come forward if you'd be willing to and talk with me or meet in the back with somebody who'd be willing to pray with you. If you have a need on your heart today, I don't want you to leave the service without somebody praying for you. I'd like you to step in the back as we're singing this song, and Jake and his family will be glad to meet you there and pray with you. Thank you.